How many of you recognize that title? Sort of our music and truth. Sometimes I like using lyrics from some songs. Anybody recognize that? Lauren knows because I told him. Do you know? Yes, ma'am. Billy Joel. Thank you. The rest of you are dismissed. No. Billy Joel wrote some good songs, but We Didn't Start the Fire. Written, he was not pleased with it because of the lyrics, and I'll read a couple of them for you. But it actually became one of his number one hits in 1989, I think. But starts off, and I'm not going to sing it, and I'm not going to dance. But starts off, Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray. See if you remember some of these names. South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe, Rosenberg's, H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Panjum Nomjom, Brando, The King and I, and The Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower Vaccine, England's Got a New Queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, Goodbye. Now the chorus, we didn't start the fire, it was always burning. Since the world's been turning, we didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. And so the lyrics are basically a stream of consciousness list of events that Billy Joel felt his generation, he was born in 1949, wasn't responsible. And so those lines, you recognize some of the names, each of those about every 2 years, starting in 49, Harry Truman, of course, then in 50, the Vietnam, Korean War. So just going through talking about events in history. It's similar in style to that great theologian, Bob Dylan, and his Subterranean Homesick Blues. Anybody recognize that song? Would you come sing it for us, Dr. Reed? But that stream of consciousness, but talking about events, and that was a number one hit in 65 for Bob Dylan. But fire is the theme, and that's sort of the word I'm going off of in the lyrics. But fire is something that we are intimately involved with up here in Colorado. There's a bad aspect of it. If you remember, here's the Waldo Canyon fire. A lot of us were here for the Hayman fire, which just really shaped a lot, and that's a very serious thing up here. And so the bad aspect of fires that burn things. I was actually, during the Waldo Canyon fire, I was teaching down at the academy, and it made my commute, because they closed 24, I had to drive all the way around through Canyon City to get from the academy every night back and forth, pivotal events. So the bad aspect of fire. But fires can also be good. They renew for us. When we allow things like controlled burns, there's an appropriate aspect of fire. And the Bible talks also about fire and related to, for example, God's holiness, his Shekinah glory. For example, Exodus 24:17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And it's also used for judgment, refining, a picture of hell. Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me, Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so a picture of judgment, a good aspect because of God's holiness, but also that judgment. And for example, Revelation 20, verse 15, at the great white throne judgment, with Dr. Reed has been talking about last things and judgment. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, that is a very somber reality about our holy God, the nature of sin. And then obviously we're going to be talking about what is the solution to that. And so I read Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, and just by way of saying that he came out and he's the warden in the prison, a Roman warden of the jail, if you will. And there's a great earthquake and he's worried that all the prisoners are going to escape. Rome didn't look too kindly on wardens who lost their prisoner, getting ready to kill themselves. Paul says, stop, you know, don't, we are all here. And obviously there was some impact on his life because he asked Paul, a prisoner, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul didn't give him a long list of things to do, did he? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And then it goes on to talk about going and the word being preached and people believing, responding, and the obedience of baptism. And so the gospel message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the content, 1 Corinthians 15, talks about the first importance. Paul didn't make it up. We've got some smart people here, but none of us get to make up and tell God what his gospel is. And so Paul deals with that as well. So what is the gospel? Because unfortunately in the church, in Bible-believing churches, like our church is, oftentimes we add to the gospel, distilled down to its just the very essence of what is the gospel. And what does gospel mean? Good news. So what is that good news? Because a lot of times we add other stuff to it, which may be appropriate, but that's technically not part of the gospel itself. So what is the content of the, what is the gospel? Well, I would submit to you, Paul preached that sermon to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of those words are pretty important. Believe. So what do I have to believe? In Jesus Christ, his person, who he is, and his work, what he did on the cross. And so when we sang Standing on the Promises, that's a great song because the promises of the good news of what God does to save sinners like you and me through the gospel, that is a promise. And so the person, who is Jesus? Well, if you don't get Jesus right, you're believing on the wrong object, if you will, of who he is and what he did. And as Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the incarnate God. He is the Lord God. He is the Son, Jesus, a Greek name for the Hebrew Joshua, which appropriately means Yahweh saves. He is the Son, and he is the promised Redeemer, one who comes to redeem his people, which Christ, not his last name, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And so Jesus is God the Son who came to redeem God's people. That's who he is. We have to be very clear about that. And what did he do? Well, that's what Paul laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, that he died for our sins. Sin before a holy God requires a sacrifice. And guess what? We can't do enough. We can't provide enough. We're not good enough. We can't provide that sacrifice. The Old Testament was very clear about that. Think of Isaiah chapter 53, that Lamb of God that was smitten. He died on the cross for our sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, like we sang. He was buried. A literal bodily death. I'm not going to belabor you with a lot of the false understandings about Jesus didn't really die, but he was buried. And he rose again, just like Scripture said on the third day. It was a bodily resurrection. On Resurrection Sunday, Easter, this is what we are celebrating, the necessity of the body, the who we are as whole persons, not just spiritually, not just, oh, he came into my heart and I feel warm and fuzzy today. No, he rose bodily, guaranteeing our future resurrection. When we get back to normal times, we were going through the book of Hosea. Our very next message, Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, talks about that third day, a lot of pointing forward from Hosea's day to the cross about that 3 days, the resurrection. Think of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish, 3 days and three nights. But then also he died, he was buried, he rose again, he was seen. Eyewitness proof. In a court of law, we want eyewitnesses. And so Paul listed Peter and James, the other apostles, and I, as one born out of due time, was seen. 500 other people at once. Eyewitness resurrection seen by eyewitnesses. So folks, what the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did is based in objective history from some 2,000 years ago. I mean, that seems so obvious, but we have a world that wants to deny that. And so the idea of, well, you know, the eyewitnesses, who cares? And they try to explain it away. Folks, standing on the promises, this is what our faith is based on, the person and work of Christ. Well, okay, so this is what Jesus did. What does it mean to believe on the gospel, to have saving faith, to believe or have saving faith? Well, we think we understand what that word believe means, but we have to understand what the depth of that word, if you will, in the original language, but in the Bible, that it's not just some knowing some facts about something. Believe is, by the way, the verb. You believe in Jesus. In the original language, faith is the same word, but it's the noun. So saving faith and believing are the same thing. Believing the gospel. Well, for sake of simplicity, there are three aspects to what it means to believe. First of all, saving faith involves a knowledge of who Jesus is. If you will, the head knowledge, the Latin term notitia, where we understand the gospel content, what Paul laid out in 1 Corinthians 15. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the facts, if you will? You have to at least be aware of those and understand so that it's anchored to something in history some 2,000 years ago now. But also saving faith involves accepting his person and work. Latin phrase, or Latin word is assensus. You assent to it. You know the facts, but you also believe that the gospel content is true. And as James said, even the demons believe that. They know the facts. They're painfully, pun maybe intended, aware that they are true. But that final aspect that in English sometimes we miss, folks, saving faith involves trusting. Maybe is a better word for us, trusting in Christ alone to save. Latin term is fiducia, where we get like fiduciary, trust, guarantee. Christ alone, not anything we can do. He, his righteousness, what he did, we are trusting in that alone. And so as we go through this, you can see where it seems so simple, but unfortunately a lot of times it's, maybe we just believe some facts about Jesus. You know, I learned about him in Sunday school. An illustration I've heard or used before is, what's the difference between believing in Abraham Lincoln and me believing in my wife? You know, I believe, you know, Abraham Lincoln's not a Fig Newton of my imagination. I know he existed. You know, so I know some historical facts about Abraham Lincoln, but when I believe in my wife, it means I trust her. She is a godly wife, a mother. She is faithful to me. There's a depth of trusting my wife. And it goes beyond that. But folks, that's what it means to believe in Jesus. Okay, and I'm assuming I'm preaching to the choir here, but a lot of times the simplicity, we lose in the simplicity. We think, oh yeah, just believe in Jesus. Well, but we have to at least wrestle with what that word, who is Jesus? What did he do? What does it mean to believe? Well, how do I share the gospel? And a lot of us know evangelism explosion, maybe the four spiritual laws. There are many ways to share the gospel with folks. The Roman road is a very familiar one. If you were here last week, we used Romans chapter 6 talking about baptism and what it means to die in Christ. Christ died and rose again. We die to self and rise again. And that's pictured, at least if you believe in through baptism by immersion, so Romans 6, and Romans, the purpose of Romans, if you remember that, is the righteousness of God and the gospel. So Romans, a very heavy-duty theological book, but talking about the gospel, so appropriate to go through Romans using the Roman road. But I'll just suggest one, just for an arrow in your quiver, a simple method of sharing the gospel: fire, bad news, good news. Pretty clever, huh? Fire, did you get that? The song? Billy Joseph? That was pretty clever. But fire, establishing a relationship, we might call that lifestyle evangelism, more on that in a sec, and then the bad news, good news, establishing the necessity of the gospel. For example, God's command, the Ten Commandments, establishing that there's bad news. We have violated, we are sinners, we have violated God's law. And then presenting the gospel distilled down. What is the good news that then is the solution to that? So fire, F, family, get to know people. We do this in our lives, get to know them personally. Hey, how's your boy doing? Well, my boy back there, now I know why tigers eat their young. but we normally have relationships. And so that's part of establishing, you know, the first thing we don't do is we don't grab somebody by the head and start beating them and, have you been sanctified, brother? You know, that's just part of who we are. So establishing a relationship, not having an agenda. Well, I'll listen to you talk for 30 seconds so I can get on to tell you something more important. Now, there may be times for that too, but family, getting to know them personally. F, I, interests, get to know them, things that just common, common areas of interest. Hey, how about that Broncos flag? Or, I noticed you were in the military. Once again, just people love to talk about their interests. And obviously an interest we all have is our Savior, hopefully. I think at coffee, a lot of you that were at coffee a couple weeks ago, I asked, what are your passions? What is your passion in life that you just love to talk to people about? You know, and obviously God's the correct answer and family, got that. But it might be knitting, it might be hunting, it might be, you know, what are we passionate about, folks? No dancing, but living our lives for the joy of God. So interests, folks love to talk about their interests. And then when you get comfortable, then you can F-I-R, religious background, you know. Where do they come from? What about your faith? What, you know, maybe they were raised in another family or came here from overseas. You know, just discovering what are their belief systems. And then, one of those questions that, so what do you think about eternity? And if there's a heaven, why should God allow you into his heaven? So it's sort of that exploratory talking about now eternal matters, moving eventually to that. And this may take years of living next door to somebody. And if you don't like them, maybe not at all. Just, no, don't do that. And then the E, the exploratory questions, where then you may become more specific and take them to the Bible. Sharing testimonies. We all have our testimony. We can all share what God did for us. That's great. But you've got to get them to Scripture, because it's not about what subjective, it's ultimately the gospel, the content of the person and work of Christ. And so, sort of the old question, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven? May I? The Bible has bad news about us and good news about God. And so there's the fire, family, interest, religious background, exploratory questions. Well, so then the bad news, and this is sort of, you'll hear sort of the Roman roads, but the Scripture. But the bad news, you're a sinner. We live in a world that doesn't know what that means. They deny it. And that's what, by the authority of God's word, things like the Ten Commandments talking about thou shalt not bear false witness. Lie, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, one time I lied. Well, then you're a liar. Establishing that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23, a lot of us could probably quote this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. That is a universal statement. Even Billy Graham and Mother Teresa fell short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. And the bad news gets worse. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. You could probably quote this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so establishing the fact of sin, and it's a universal disease. In fact, I can't remember where this come from, but sin is a lot worse than we think it is. I don't know where I heard that. But to quote Cornelius Plantinga, Dr. Reed talked about him a little bit last week, for the Christian church, listen to this, talking about how bad sin is. So I didn't make this comes from Scripture and smarter people than me. For the Christian church to ignore, to euphemize, just make it sound good, or otherwise mute the lethal reality of sin, is to cut the nerve of the gospel. For the sober truth is that without full disclosure on sin, the gospel of grace becomes impertinent, Who do you think you are? Unnecessary. Well, I don't need that. I'm necessary. And finally, uninteresting. And so the horrific nature of human depravity and sin, that's just assumed as part of what draws people or propels them to the gospel. So that's the bad news, the sin. The good news, fire, bad news, but good news, you know, like in fire, Christ died for sinners. Okay, Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, that's the good news. That's the God's grace. Heard this somewhere. Grace is bigger than we think it is as well. The person and work of Christ. That's what God has done for sinful people like you and like me. That's good news. That's the gospel. And you can be saved through faith in Christ. Here's what Christ did. What now is our response? You can be saved through faith in Christ. Jesus is greater than we think it is. It's Jesus, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You know these verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then like Paul told the Philippian jailer, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So, like that song, The Fire, where that Billy Joel was talking about all these old things that we weren't responsible for the fire, but it's always, since the world's been turning, we didn't start the fire, it was always burning, since the world's been turning, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. Folks, we are responsible for our sin. But God, and God is holy and judgment sure and deserved. See a lot of in protests and things, justice, be careful what you wish for. Justice is something, I don't want justice. I want grace and mercy, because justice demands all of us, because we are sinners, pay the eternal penalty of hell, a real place called hell. Come next week to the adult Bible studies. We talk about judgment and heaven and hell over the next several weeks. But that's the reality of God's holiness, a burning fire. But Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, there's grace bigger than we deserve, or fire, the judgment. And so we didn't start the fire. The gospel's not of our making. It's been around in God's eternal plan, but understanding the promise, like we said, keeps us singing with the joy of what God has done. The gospel message, folks, it's a very simple message, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an awful lot of stuff, things in life, that there's a simplicity when you understand, when you're on the other side of complexity. In other words, you have to understand. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Do you? Who is Jesus? What does it mean to believe? What is the gospel? How bad is your sin? How holy is God? What do we deserve? There's a complexity that has to be understood as part of believing the gospel. So we get to the point of the good news, folks. And that can be a challenge, because some of us, you know, the gospel, oh yeah, I got that. Oh yeah, I hope so-and-so's listening. I hope Bear Claw's listening to this message. Folks, we all like to think that we are part, we understand this, and that gospel message is for everybody else. But folks, that entails all our lives. And when we look back, are we thinking that somehow our righteousness, our works are part of this? We can all be pretty proud of ourselves. I mean, after all, we are members of CFC. And so we can start to look at ourselves when it comes to our standing before God. Or sometimes, oh yeah, I got the gospel. Sort of that easy, it's called easy believism. And there are mountains of literature that I won't bore you with about the sort of that, yeah, well, I believed, once saved, always saved. You know, just that simplistic answer without understanding the depth of sin and what it means to be saved. And I personally believe eternal, that God does keep those who save. But but not just going through the motions and then excusing the rest of our lives because, well, I prayed a prayer once, I walked an aisle once, I joined a church once. And so that's the dangers of not understanding the complexity, you know, of all the depth of who Jesus is, so that we come to a place where I trust everyone in this room. And if you have not, I challenge you, I offer that. Please talk to me or one of the deacons about, have I truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Sounds simple, but there's an awful lot there that ultimately, by God's grace, helps us to make us new creations so that we can understand this. So that, like we sang, living for Jesus. That's the responsibility in our lives as, like I said, I'm preaching to the choir here, because we are God's children, because we have trusted the gospel. What does that look like in our lives now? And the joy, not dancing, the joy of singing and living for Jesus. The gospel message. I think last week we talked about faith. Faith, believing, trusting the gospel, but then we live lives by faith. It ought to impact our lives every day, not something, oh yeah, that's nice. You know, because sometimes in churches, we just want to hear the gospel because that doesn't challenge me. I just hope somebody else listens to this. Folks, we all need to listen to this, and it needs to be central to who we are as the trophies of God's grace because of what Jesus has done. Man, I think we should pass the offering plates and have an altar call. And yeah, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the gospel. The promise. We stand on the promise, like Paul said, the gospel in which we stand. May we live our lives in light of the fact that we are new creatures in Christ because of what he has done. And we have believed in who he is and what he has done. Give us opportunities that fire, good news, bad, whatever method, to be able to share from Scripture what the truthful word has said. We all have folks, family members, neighbors, co-workers that are living in darkness. And so give us the opportunity to share that good news, the gospel, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention.